hymn you'd like to sing, just shout out the number, please. Sorry? 88. Right, number 88 in your hymn book. The hymn number 88 in your hymn book. He is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall. 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. We'll sing the first verse, and we'll sing the second verse, and then we'll sing the last verse. Verses 1, 2, and 8, along with the chorus, remaining seated while we sing the hymn number 88. Favorite?
461.
461 in your hymn book. 461 in your hymn book. 461. I'm not skilled to understand what God has willed and what God has planned. I only know at his right hand stands one who is my Savior. We'll sing the first verse and the third verse. Verses 1 and 3. 461. Keeping our seats while we sing. Three ninety, dear Saviour, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me that me repeat thy name and lift my heart to thee. We'll sing the first and the third verse along with the chorus. 390, verses 1 and 3, along with the chorus. For opening hymn tonight, the hymn number 110, the page 221, O Love Divine, what hast thou done? The immortal God have died for me. The Father's co-eternal Son bore all my sins upon the tree. The hymn number 110, we'll stand as we sing this time and singing the hymn through in its entirety and singing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing.
Thank you.
we just unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord, praying for His help and presence and blessing among us here tonight. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we do rejoice afresh in Thy goodness, Thy grace, Thy mercy that finds us here tonight in the place where prayer is wont to be made. Father, we thank Thee afresh tonight for Thy love, for salvation. We thank Thee, Father, for the sacrifice of Thy Son, the bleeding sacrifice, the bleeding Son of God, who died on the cross of Calvary, the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Father, we do thank Thee for that once for all a sacrifice for sin. And we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Christ poured out His life unto death, that He cried out, "It is finished," and that He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And we rejoice, O God, tonight as Thy people that we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank Thee, Father in heaven, that our sins, so many, have been forgiven, pardoned, cast into the sea of Thy forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thy word declares, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Yea, it is Christ who justifieth." And Father, we thank that we're justified freely by Thy grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight in the riches of Thy grace, that grace that is abundant, sufficient for our every need day by day. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight in our great hope, the hope of heaven, the hope of glory, that great inheritance that is laid up for us as the people of God. And Father, we just thank Thee for Thy tender mercies. We realize, O God, that we have sinned against Thee in thought and word and deed. And Father, we pray for that fresh cleansing tonight in the Savior's blood. Create within us, Lord, that clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us that right spirit. And prepare our hearts this night to meet with Thee, to seek Thee, to call upon Thy name. Father, we realize that it is the presence of the Lord that makes the feast. And Father, we do pray from this opening hymn to the last amen, that we might know Thee drawing very near. Father, we thank Thee for all who have been able to gather tonight. Bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. Remember every family, household, Lord, that is represented. Do meet the need of all our hearts, our lives, our homes, and our families. Lord, where there are particular needs, we pray that Thou wilt meet those needs by Thy power, by Thy grace. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Thou art the one that can make the iron to swim. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou art able for every need under every circumstance of life. And Father, we pray most importantly of all that Thou would indeed unite our family circles in the Lord. Each and every one of us have loved ones outside of Christ. And Father, we do pray for them, O God, tonight very especially, that Thou wilt save them, and that when that day comes, when Christ will come in power and in great glory, our prayer would be, O God, that all would be safely gathered in, and that the circle would not be unbroken, but that the circle would be united in Christ in the sweet by and by, we pray. Father in heaven, we do pray for those unable to join with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. O God, bless them. Minister to their needs in particular, those that are at home and residential care, others in hospital. Bless them, we ask of Thee. Remember, Lord, those that have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, do comfort their hearts, we pray, and fill the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord. And Father, we do pray, O God, for the children's meeting tonight in Tresna. We thank Thee for the boys and girls that have heard Thy word. And Lord, do speak on to these young lives, we pray. And Lord, we would pray that early in life they would come to Christ and trust Him as their Savior. Lord, protect them from the evil influences of this world and lead them and guide them in the paths of the Lord. Remember the meeting tomorrow night in Lisbeth, Thursday night in McGuire's Bridge, and Friday night here in the church. We thank Thee for every boy and girl who comes. We thank Thee for the parents who allow them to come. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt speak to these young lives. Bring many more young children in this year under the sound of Thy word. Draw them in, Lord, by the Spirit of God, and give them that burden, that desire to come and
Give the parents that burden and that desire, Lord, to send them. Bless her sister Jillian and all who help in the meetings night by night and week by week. May they know the great help of God and blessing of the Lord and the presence of the Lord with them in all the meetings this year in a mighty way, and that thou wilt add thy blessing upon it, thy seal upon it, even in this new year, in the saving of boys and girls, we ask of thee. Father, do remember us for good as a church, as a congregation. We thank thee for the meetings here last Lord's Day. Now we thank thee for thy servant who was with us on the Lord's Day evening, our brother Noel Stevenson. We thank thee for him and for his zeal for the Lord. And we pray that you'd bless him, keep him in good health and strength. And remember his labors for thee there, O God, and the Philippines, bless him. And even that new venture into that place of Taytay, we pray. We pray that thou wilt open up that door in a very mighty way, in a very signal manner. Give tokens for good. And Lord, establish a witness there. And bless her brother at this time as he goes around the different churches, we pray. And use him, O God, even to stir up that interest afresh in the work of the Lord. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, O God. We think of gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time as well. Wherever, Lord, thy people meet faithfully around the word of God, around the testimony of Jesus Christ, bless the going forth of thy precious word. And Lord, we pray for days of revival, days of quickening, days of the right hand of God in our land and in our nation. O God, we pray. Lord, you've said in thy word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And Lord, we have seen the enemy come in like a flood. We've seen that tide of ungodliness rising and increasing, Lord. And Father, we pray that thou wilt cause that tide to abate, that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit and great power, we pray, and that there might be that turning on the hearts of men and women, young people and boys and girls, away from sin, away from false religion, and Lord, a turning to thee and to Christ, the light of the world. Abide with us now, we pray. Shut us in, Lord, with thyself. Grant a real sense of your presence. Speak through thy word to our hearts tonight. Bless us in the season of prayer. Give help in prayer. Give liberty in prayer, O God, we ask. And Lord, teach us to pray. And may we go home tonight rejoicing, Lord, that we've met with the Lord, knowing and saying of a truth like the disciples of old on the Mount of Transfiguration, that it was good for us to have been here. For here we met with the Lord, and here we saw the Lord afresh. Give us a fresh glimpse of Christ tonight, we pray. Do our souls good. We pray these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the New Testament book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 5, and we're reading from verse 13 of the chapter down to the end of the verse number 26. Galatians chapter 5, beginning our reading at the verse 13. When you're looking it up, we welcome all in the Lord's name. It's good to see all who have gathered out this evening. We pray God will bless you around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Do please remember the services over the weekend, Friday night, here the children's meeting, 6:30, youth fellowship meeting at 8 p.m., and then the Lord's Day morning, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. God willing, we'll be along to bring God's word, and our brother, Mr. George Walker, will be with us to sing in the gospel service at night. So be much in prayer for these meetings. Do make them known, and do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's precious and holy word. Galatians chapter 5 and the verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. Ending a reading there at verse 26. May the Lord add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The text of Scripture I want us to look at tonight is that opening phrase there of verse number 22 of Galatians chapter 5, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." The hymn writer says, "May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say." And by those words, the hymn writer really was expressing a desire in their own life to become more like their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this indeed is God's will for all of his saved people. The Bible says to the believer, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And yes, Christ himself is the pattern for the believer to follow in this life. Indeed, this was Paul's desire for the Christians at the Galatian church to whom he writes this letter where we've read from tonight. And in this letter, yes, he reminds the Galatians that they were not saved by any rite or ceremony of the Jewish law. Rather, they were saved by faith alone in Christ alone. Notice what he says back in chapter 3 and the verse 26. He says, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." But although they were not saved by any work of the law, Paul also reminds these believers that they had a responsibility to live for God's glory, to live God-glorifying lives in accordance with God's word and God's commands for their life. Hence, he opens chapter 5 with these words, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." They were not to live for self. They were not to live for the works of the flesh. Hence, as Christians, they were to walk in the Spirit. They were to be led by the Spirit. Notice what he says in verse 16 and verse 18 of the chapter. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And the Spirit here is a reference to God, the Holy Spirit himself. And following on from this, Paul then highlights the work of the Spirit in the life of God's people. And this he really summarizes in verse 22 and in verse 23 of the chapter, when he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And this is how these Galatian Christians were to live in this ungodly world. Yes, their life as believers was to be marked by this spiritual fruit that Paul describes and outlines in particular here in verse 22 and verse 23 of the chapter. And dear believer in Christ tonight, this is how we too are to live in this ungodly world. Yes, it is the Lord's will that our lives also be marked by such spiritual fruit. Yes, such fruit of the Spirit is really part of the ongoing work of sanctification in our lives as Christians. Therefore, tonight I want us to look at this first fruit that is mentioned here in our text tonight, where it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice first of all here with me the meaning of this love. Our text says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And this love, yes, has been defined as an unselfish love. A love expressed in serving others. A sacrificial love following the pattern of love set forth in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whenever you and I think of the meaning of this love that is spoken of here in our text, it goes without saying that God alone is the source of such love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And the Bible tells us that God himself is love. The Bible says that God is love. And my love, yes, is one of God's unchanging attributes. And people, the greatest demonstration of God's love to us was in the sending forth of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to provide and to make an atoning sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. Turn in your Bible over to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. And look with me, please, there at verses 9 and 10 of that chapter. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. John says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, by his atoning sacrifice, he was to appease the wrath of God that was against us for our sins. That is something we must never forget. The greatest proof, the greatest evidence of God's love toward us is that he sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into this world to be the propitiation for our sins. Yes, child of God in salvation, you and I as believers, yes, we've been born again of God the Holy Spirit. And God has given us the Spirit of love to live within our hearts. The Bible says to you and I who are saved in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it says, for God hath given us the Spirit of love. And it's true the ministry of the Holy Spirit that God himself pours his love into our hearts and into our lives as Christians. Romans 5 verse 5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. What does it say here in our text tonight in Galatians chapter 5 verse 22? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian is a shedding abroad of the love of God within their heart and within their souls. And as God the Holy Spirit is the author and the source of this love, then it's important, believer, that you and I pray daily, that we pray daily for the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. The Bible says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And it's also vitally important as Christians that we avoid sin and disobedience to the Lord, for such things grieve the Holy Spirit and they hinder the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians. It's also very important here to say that such Christ-like love is something that is to have priority in our lives as Christians. And we see this from the very fact that the word love here is mentioned first in this list of the fruit of the Spirit. And bear in mind, dear people, every word in the Scripture is inspired and is all ordered by God Himself. And God Himself has deliberately put this word love at the very front of this list to highlight the priority of this grace in the life of the Christian. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. In fact, it is from this very fruit of the Spirit of love that all those other graces that are mentioned flow out in the life of the Christian: joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But the very fact that love is at the head of the list shows the priority of this grace in our lives as Christians. Yes, the meaning of this love, but notice not only the meaning of this love, notice the characteristic of this love. You see, the Bible would show us that this love, which is the fruit of the Spirit, it leads to certain marks in the life of the Christian. Turn back, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look particularly with me at verses 4 to 8 of that chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. Look at verse 4, and it says charity, and that's just another word for this Christian love. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And here we see how this Christian charity or love, it leads really to patience there. It says, charity suffereth long. It leads to kindness there. It says, and is kind. It leads really to a delight in the welfare of others. For it says there, charity vaunteth not itself. And it leads to humility of heart and life of the Christian. For it says, and is not puffed up. Look again at verse 5 of that chapter. It says about this charity, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And that verse really shows us here that this charity, it leads to proper conduct. It leads to unselfishness in the Christian. It leads to a calm temper. Yes, this charity really sees the best and other people's motives there, for it says it thinketh no evil. And look at what we read in verse number 6 of that same chapter. It says, it rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. There we see that this charity does not delight in the iniquity and the vices of others, but rather it rejoices in what is true and virtuous in the lives of other people. And then verse number 7, it says, it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This charity, yes, it means the Christian bearing with the faults, indeed the imperfections of other believers. It means, yes, the Christian seeing good in his or her fellow believer. It means the Christian, yes, having an inner hope that all things will turn out well and work for their good. This charity, yes, means us as Christians bearing up under persecution, an injury that comes our way, and the providence of God. This was the very mark of Job of old, for he said of the Lord, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. This was the mark of the Apostle Paul. Turning your Bible back to Romans chapter 8 and the verse number 28, he says there, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And all the providences of God, Paul could see the hand of God working it all out for good in his life. Why? Because his life was marked by the love of God, by the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And brethren and sisters in Christ, and here we see the importance of this love that is mentioned here in our text. Our text says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And such a love, yes, will enable you and I as Christians to glorify God in the battles of life and the trials of life and the storms of life and the difficulties of life that come our way as God's people. Yes, A.W. Pink, the great Bible commentator, was right when he said that love is the queen of all
Christian graces. And that's really what we see outlined here in our text tonight in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. When Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Yes, we see the meaning of this love, the characteristic of this love. Notice finally tonight, notice the importance of this love. Our text says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And this love, this Christian charity in our lives, dear people of God, it is something that is vitally important. It is something that we're not to ignore. It is something that you and I as Christians are not to discount and say, this is for somebody else. It is vitally important for all of our lives as Christians. Why is that the case? Well, the Bible shows us it is important because this charity, this love, is to be the foundation of all our Christian service. Look at what Paul says to these believers at the end of verse 13 of Galatians chapter 5. Notice the words he says, but by love serve one another. You see, without love in our hearts, our Christian service toward those to whom we minister will be of little worth. It will be of little value. It says there, by love serve one another. And this love is to be the foundation of all of our Christian service. That is why it is so important. We can say also tonight that this love and this Christian charity in our lives as believers is vital, for without it, all other gifts that we have are vain and empty in the sight of God. Turn in your Bible back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at the opening verses of that chapter. Here you'll see this point that we're making. Notice what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, he says, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, he says, I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, he says, it profiteth me nothing. And that really shows us the importance of this love, this charity that Paul is speaking of in our text. And without it, all our gifts, no matter how good those gifts may appear in our sight or in the sight of men, in God's sight, they are all vain and empty without this Christian charity and love that Paul speaks of in our text. Also, we can say further tonight that this love and charity in our text is important in our lives as believers because it's a witness to the world that you and I belong to Christ. It's a witness to the world that you and I are saved and that we're the Lord's people. Remember what Christ said to his disciples about this very same love and charity in John chapter 13, verse 35. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. It's a proof, it's an evidence, it's a token that we've been saved. It's one of the proofs that we belong to the Lord. Also, this love, this charity in our lives that is mentioned as God's people is important. Why? Because of its permanency. Because of its permanency. You see, when all the other spiritual gifts pass away, and when all other spiritual gifts are unnecessary, this love will remain. It's permanent. Turn again back to 1 Corinthians 13 and look at what Paul says in verse 8 and verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. Notice what he says in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. He says, charity never faileth. In other words, it's permanent, never ends. Charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Verse 13, and now abide a faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is a charity. And there Paul tells us that charity never faileth. This is why this is so important. Because there's other gifts in the life of the Christian. There's other gifts in the life of the church. They will cease. They will become unnecessary. But this is a grace that lasts,
that is permanent. Something else, dear people, this love, this charity in our lives as Christians is vital. Why? Because it is something that Christ himself commands us to display and to show forth in our life and witness as Christians day by day. Turn back in your Bible to John chapter 13. John's Gospel, chapter number 13. And look with me there at verse number 34. Look at what Christ says. He's speaking here to the disciples. He's speaking to you and I tonight who are saved, to all God's people. And he says in verse 34 of John chapter 13, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." That verse has been rightly called in the Church of Christ the 11th commandment. And how the command is there of the Lord to his people to show forth love and to love one another. You think of the words of the hymn writer. The hymn writer says, "I want, dear Lord, a love that feels for all, a deep, strong love that answers every call, a love like thine, a love divine, a love for high and low. On me, dear Lord, a love like this bestow." That was the prayer, the burden of the hymn writer of old. Daily, dear child of God, may those words be the prayer and the burden of our hearts as Christians as well, as you and I seek to live for Christ and live for God in this ungodly world. And then there's one other reason why this grace is so important as well. This love, this charity in our hearts is vital. If you and I as Christians are to love the unsaved, if you and I as Christians are to reach the lost with the gospel, what is one of the great facts concerning the Lord? It is this very fact that God loves sinners. He loves sinners of the deepest dye. He loves sinners of every color, creed, class, and society. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Paul, the chief of sinners, could say of Christ, and he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, one who was injurious to the cause of Christ. He could say of Christ, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And that's one of the great truths of the Bible, great truths of the gospel, that God loves sinners, for God so loved the world. And brethren and sisters in Christ, it is only by that same love in our hearts as believers in Christ that you and I will be motivated to spread the gospel, to reach others with the gospel, and to speak to others unsaved who are still lost and undone in their sins. Turn back in your Bible, please, to the 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says here about his love for souls. Look at verse number 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." He was a persuader of men. You have him before King Agrippa, and what did Agrippa say to Paul? "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Agrippa was no friend of the gospel, no friend of God's word, no friend of the Christ of God. Yet Paul witnessed him. Why? Because he had a love for him, a love for his soul. He wanted to see him saved. And what was the great burden of Paul's heart? What was the driving force behind it all? Look at verse 14 there of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." In light of God's love towards him, in light of that love of God filling his heart, filling his soul, Paul was constrained to love others for Christ, to reach others for Christ, to be a witness for Christ in this ungodly world. You read the life histories of missionaries, men and women, young people who have left home, left loved ones, left families. They've went at the call of God to the uttermost parts of the earth to spread the gospel. Why? Because the love of God in Christ Jesus has been shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. Outside the doors of this church, there's a town here languishing perishing in sin, Protestants, Roman Catholics alike, all kinds and creeds. And dear people, that's our mission field. Once we step outside the door, that's our mission field. The Lord may not call you and I to Africa or to China or to India, but He's called us to this part of His vineyard, to Enniskillen, to County Fermanagh, to wherever we live, wherever we work. Oh, that we would witness for Christ to others, seek to spread the gospel to others, that we might seek to love them for Christ and see them saved by the grace and by the power of God. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. Let us pray day by day that that love will be shed abroad in our hearts through the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that we might live for Christ, be a witness for Him, and serve Him until Jesus Christ comes or calls us home. We'll just turn again in our hymn book, please, to the hymn number 411. 411 in your hymn book. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. We'll stand as we sing 411. Stand as we sing. Just get down to our season of prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray. Let there be no gaps. Let us pray one with another, one for another. Remember the Sunday school, the Bible class, the youth fellowship, the children's work, the services on the Lord's Day. Be much in prayer for them. Pray for the bringing in of new families and young families from around the area. And the Lord would save. Do remember the mission in a month's time in Lisbalaw, the 25th of February to the 10th of March. Be much in prayer for that. The Lord would go before, prepare the ground, create an interest, draw people in under the sound of God's word. Do remember also the prayer service coming up in February. Remember, please, the sick and the elderly in your prayers. Remember, Sister Mrs. Woods has been in hospital, or Brother Mr. Stuart Hazard also has been in hospital. Do remember Dorothy Marshall as well, Bob Charlton and others connected with us, elderly and infirm who need the Lord's strength at this time. Remember our missionaries as well. Maybe you could remember the work in Liberia there, Joanne Greer and David DeCanio, and of course our brother Stevenson, who was with us the other evening as well. And do please pray for the Consider Christ outreach recommencing again, Saturday the 3rd of February, down to Lexleep, down near Dublin. Pray for that
that God would bless his British. Remember our land and our nation and all of its need, that there might be that turning to the Lord, that seeking of the Lord in salvation. We'll just get down to prayer. Ask our brother, Mr. Ian Moore, to lead us off in prayer. And then also our brother, Mr. Noel Foy, and one after the other, as the Lord would lead us in the time that is left right through to about 20:25 past nine. Encourage as many as possible to pray and to seek the Lord, our brother Ian and Noel, and one after the other. Thank you.